You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Line joining us from the Big T, Tamaki Makaurau. They're about to fly out to Otipoti to play a show later today at the Crown Hotel. The one, the only. We've got Peter McCall, aka Phased on a Pony, on the line joining us from the Big T. Good morning to you, Peter. How are we?
Morning, Zach. I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good.
I'm very, very happy to hear that. Your flights haven't been affected at all by the gnarly weather that's happening up in the North Island right now?
Not so far, fingers crossed. It's actually quite a nice morning. It was wild yesterday here, but this morning's nice and blue so far, so quite still.
Okay, you've been unscathed, though, all up? Because yesterday I think there was like a state of emergency declared in Northland.
Yeah. Northland tends to get the worst of it. We've definitely had our fair share in our west especially, but Northland tends to get battered a lot harder than Auckland when these things come through. So it was for us, it wasn't too bad. It was just like a wet day.
Okay, that's good. I hope it wasn't too bad. You're the first repeat guest of 2026 here on Breakfast. Congratulations. I was thinking about this the other day, but how many people have said to you that you should change your name to Blazed on a Pony?
There's been some mentioning of Blazing over the years.
You've never wanted to take it on?
No, I think the connotations are too strong with that one. Phased is maybe already pushing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not all about the Blazing, Zach.
It is not. This is very true. You could start like a parody tribute band to Phased on a Pony called Blazed on a Pony. That'd be pretty good.
You could.
I could. Maybe I'll play tonight at the Crown Hotel. Who's to say? Last time in January, you told me that the original title for your most recent record, Swan, you had a few different verbose titles, but you decided to not go with that and you just went for Swan. Do you remember some of those very verbose names that you had in the barrel?
One that was a hot contender was I Didn't Say You Were Right, which had nothing to do with any lyrics or anything. It just felt like a mood. Mm. Maybe that was in at the time.
Mm-hmm. Kind of spitey.
Spitey and spiky, mm-hmm. which is one of my moods. Mm-hmm. That's the one I can remember off the top of my head. I had a big, you know, like list of ideas, but that was one that actually mocked up on a cover.
So. Oh well, you were really committed to that name.
Yeah, another one, which wasn't a long title, was Lean,
because you love sipping that lean.
Basically, I was trying because I think part of the album was. I was trying to make the songs quite lean, mm-hmm. you know, like only the elements they needed. But that felt maybe a little bit too referential to the process.
Now that I think about it, though, there's no track that goes over the 4.5 minutes. There's all the tracks are under 5 minutes. They are pretty tight.
Yeah. I mean, that's even getting them up to 4.5 is like a new thing for me. Like originally I would write kind of 2-minute-y things and I'm still doing that a bit.
Chasing that algorithm.
Yeah, basically just trying to maximize for TikTok, hoping that hits soon.
Yeah. I don't mind a short song, but I do love a long song here and there. What's hard about making a long song for you?
What's hard about it? I have this feeling like I have to fill my songs with hooks constantly, otherwise people are going to get bored or something. Like every part has to be a hook, and it's actually a bit of a problem because I think I really like slow build songs, and not every part of everything can be a banger. It's like making a meal with like
a million spices.
Like a spice drawer curry with like put heaps of like sugar and things in, and just like max everything, and then nothing tastes good because everything's maxed.
Yes.
So it's actually something I'm trying to work on a little bit. But I don't know. I also just like kind of from the school of like early Alex G or like Guided by Voices and people that make these like 1.5 minute real poppy banger things, but like part of the subversiveness I guess is that they are short and that they're not, that you can just have a song that's just a hook and that's the song, you know, or like even like UMO does that quite a lot. They'll just like start in the middle of a hook. And I don't know, it's just very concise. Something about that appeals to me.
You must be a big fan of Peter Pan then. Sorry.
Hey, nice.
It was really, yeah. Dad jokes on the one.
We have the same name as well, which is crazy.
Yeah, true. I did not even think of that. The first half of the tour is over. It's finito. You played in Tamaki Wely and at Port Noise. Port Noise looked like a lot of fun this year. I think Georgia Knight was playing as well. How do you find it?
It was awesome. It was such a good event to just go to, first of all. Like, everything I saw there was excellent. And didn't know many of the artists before I went. But they do such a good job of just picking high quality stuff. Like, they have to balance it, obviously, with like something that will sell tickets as well. But it's just kind of, it felt like all very high quality. And I saw heaps of friends from around the country there. And our set was at 4 p.m. on the big stage, so we opened, but we got like a big crowd, and then we could just relax and watch music, and it was a really great weekend.
Awesome. I need to go sometime. I read on Rolling Stone that with this new album's rollout, you're putting in more effort, whereas previously you sort of just put an album on Bandcamp, contacted a few people for press. Do you think that's a mark of more self-belief or confidence? I read that you said it was more about focus, but I still think that that's a major evolution because you're being more determined.
Yeah, totally. It's funny with this one, it just kind of snowballed in that direction. Kind of, you put in a little bit more effort, and then you're like, well, if I'm going to book some shows, I need to promote them to sell tickets. And then you're like, well, if I'm going to, you know, do a tour, I should get like a really cool poster. It was kind of, I don't know, I just wanted to, everything I did, I wanted to have some value. So like, the poster's functional, but getting my friend Ella to do it, I knew it was also going to be like a piece of art in itself, or like, you know, the t-shirts we got, they have lots of different colors, so it's quite expensive, but I just want like a cool thing to exist, and I like color, you know. So I don't, confidence feels like the wrong word, but maybe I am, I don't know. I've definitely put a lot of effort into it. Look, I'm back on your show.
Yeah congratulations.
It's also a lot of other people like yourself putting in a lot of effort, obviously.
But, I mean, it's also you wanting to make maybe your best album. Yeah, I mean, you went to record at Roundhead with Dee Stephens.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty big investment. 2 days, over 11 songs over 2 days.
Yeah, yeah. So still quite a quick turnaround, which made it possible for me and my bank account. But that was mostly because Dee was there, but then... Yeah, I guess it's less confidence and more just like taking a bit of a leap or a big swing, despite not feeling confident, which I think is maybe more important that you do the thing rather than feel like you can do the thing before you do it. Does that make sense?
I respect that. I respect that a lot. It's interesting in that Rolling Stone interview that you mentioned how you used to sing an American voice a few times when you started out. And it's something I've noticed that New Zealand artists can tend to do. Why do you think people do that and they don't sing in their, you know, actual Kiwi accent?
I think it's just because it's what, if you listen to a lot of American music, it just sounds right. Especially if you play like indie or like emo-ish or country-ish or anything like that, like New Zealand, like diphthongs or whatever, like really stick out. And it, especially when you're starting and again you have less experience or confidence, you want it to sound good, and you don't really know what your sound is yet. You kind of got to like develop your voice. And then I think maybe people get stuck because I feel like now I can't change my voice because it's been recorded as such and such. Whereas I kind of slowly transformed my voice to become more what it is now, which feels quite comfortable. But there's still certain words and things. Like I tend to say like thang when I, instead of thing, whenever I'm singing, I always say thang and stuff like that. Just which I feel fine about, you know, just whatever sounds good in the song. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing the American thing either.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it either, but I think it's also symptomatic of maybe a lack of, and here's that word, the C word, confidence, coming back again, and like New Zealand's psyche, you know? Yeah, we're still competing on the global stage, but getting less attention because we're just so small. And so I feel like people do opt to go for the American voice.
Yeah, and then some people really go New Zealand hard, you know. Like, there was a few artists around Dunedin when I was starting to play that were doing that, like Michael Cathro, of Hardy Unclear, and like Anthony Tonin, both real Kiwi accent singers. And that I found that quite inspiring, I think, just to hear people like really lean into it, almost ham it up in a way, like it feels like they're kind of really making it clear.
I feel
So
like
that
you almost do that on Wrong Party as well.
perhaps,
I don't know. I
not
think there's a very
sure.
distinct New Zealandism to your voice on that song.
Yeah, I think like maybe just certain words, especially like phrases that feel quite particular to you, or you would actually say in conversation and stuff, maybe you tend to lean into your actual voice a bit more, like, yeah, not sure.
Well, you're playing at the Crown Hotel tonight as part of the Swan Tour. You're playing with Diet of Worms at 8 p.m. People can go find tickets from Under the Radar. Last quick question: when was the last time you played at the Crown? And when was the first time you played at the Crown?
Oh, those are good questions. Last time, it was probably a Bathysphere show.
Shout out.
I imagine, yeah, shout out Bathysphere. And probably before I moved to Tāmaki, so like 5 years ago, I'm gonna guess. First time, several years before that, I don't know. In the 2010s for sure. But maybe towards the end of the 2010s, because the Crown at that time for me felt like a bit like a heavier space. But we definitely played with the old folk band like there a bunch. So there's some videos, Dunedin sound videos, shout out.
Massive ups.
Of us playing there. So yeah, definitely a place that I've been to a lot and seen a lot of amazing shows there. The first show I saw there, I think, was Die 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 in like 2012 or something. And that was amazing.
It would be.
Whole room was like heaving. It was great.
Oh, that's so awesome. Well, thank you for coming on the program this morning, Peter. I really, really appreciate your time, and I hope your flight goes swimmingly. I hope there's no problems. I was just A to B.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you again. Thank you so much.
Cool. See ya.
Alrighty, folks. I pressed the wrong button there. That was Peter McCall from Fazed on a Pony joining us to talk about their tour and their gig tonight at the Crown Hotel, which, as I mentioned before, is happening at 8 p.m. Joined by Diet of Worms. Again, you can find tickets from Under the Radar. We're going to do the gig guide pretty shortly, but first we're going to play the track The Perfect Swan from Fazed on a Pony's most recent record, Swan. You are listening to The One. See you very shortly.
Used to
Bye.
feel like floating far away. Now I stay here. Used to stand in silence. What was there to say? Lend me your ear. Used to take the form of fog in the window. No idea.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.